and get the. Oh my
Ooh,
gosh, you're all on
that
top of it. I appreciate it. That was really, let's see, leave me. Oh my gosh, got it. I've never seen this before. I get a
one step
notification when
ahead.
the recording has started. It gives me an option to leave the meeting immediately. Okay. Well, I'm gonna hang around. Welcome, welcome,
You should
everyone,
stay.
to the December 2023 LHON Live. I will go through my usual spiel, but try and be relatively quick. I'm not sure if I heard any brand new voices tonight, but if you're here for the first time, we certainly welcome you. This is a very casual call, and I hope it's beneficial to any or all of you who are here. We have some people who've been on these calls for approaching a decade now. Jessica Loomer, my co-host, and I met back in June of 2014. This is beginning to sound like a myth the way I tell it. I don't even know if this actually happened or if I just say it every month. We met in June of 2014, according to this story I tell once a month, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at what was the fir our first LHON conference for both of us. It wasn't the first conference, but it was the first one we both attended. And along with others, we quickly realized how many benefits there were to connecting with other folks who are a part of this community. Some of those benefits are ones that are really taken advantage of in person, but a lot of those are ones that we thought we could take advantage of and continue to benefit from throughout the year. So that August 2014, we had our first LHON live call, and we've been doing them monthly ever since. They've been through a number of different iterations. Occasionally we have guest speakers. Occasionally we're talking about very specific topics. And occasionally we're doing what we're doing tonight, which is kind of bringing any topics that are on our minds, but also on the minds of anyone here who may have questions, comments, stories to share from the last month, or just especially when there are new folks who we may be able to kind of surround and give some tips or advice or just fellowship with in a way. With that, I will remind us all that Jessica and I, despite the confidence with which we speak, we are not experts in anything we're going to talk to you about tonight. So if there are any questions really digging down the medical rabbit hole or about very specific employment or legal questions, we may direct those questions elsewhere, but otherwise we really do want to be as helpful as we can. And there's a group of 20 plus individuals here, all who have a lot of experience in this community, and we really just want to be able to help each other and lean on each other as best we can. With that, before we kind of open it up, Jess, how are you doing tonight?
Wonderful. I'm sitting here. It's 55 degrees and I have my back door open with my Christmas tree on. So it feels a little odd, I'm not gonna lie.
That's
Like those things don't really match when you live in Colorado. And we've only have survived one light wintry mixed snowstorm. So I'm feeling a little warmer than I should here in Denver. But yeah, so far so good. And I don't know, like where does a year go? I don't know if everyone else is having that same reflection, but yeah, where did the year go? I can't believe it's already December and my head is already in 2024 because I'm work planning and road mapping. And so, and I'm so excited because we have a really cool 2024 planned for the LHON community with all the various calls coming up. So, I mean, shameless plug, but it's pretty great.
I thought you were about to tell me you had a really exciting 2024 planned at Zendesk. And I was be like, oh my gosh, please tell me more about this.
No, which one? I mean, maybe Zendesk.
I have to ask, like, so your Christmas tree that you have set up in your house, kudos for having that up as early as you do. Do you do that on your own, or do you have like a housewarming or like not housewarming, a house party where you get a group together to do that or not? I know you live alone, which is why I asked.
So you said as early as I do, like I had this up 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, so I don't know if you knew that about me, but so when you say
Okay,
early as
I'm going to take away all of the applause I sent your way and instead point a finger at you.
but I just needed some extra light in here. Yeah, no, I put it up myself. Yeah, I have like I would say a system. I think finally my 3-year-old puppy has no longer decided to go underneath it and think it's a full like obstacle course. So we're doing pretty good. So we're finally at that point. But yeah, I would say I decorated the tree and I would say I normally go much more Christmassy, but now that I've moved back into an apartment, it's literally just a tree, a wreath, and a doormat that said like it's something grinchy, which is hilarious to me.
I love, I saw at a, I went to a Christmas craft show earlier this year, and I saw or was told about a like tree topper, which had a Grinch arm kind of wrapping around the top, we'll say 6 inches of the tree. And then it ended with like a Grinch's hand, like putting a star on the tree, which I just thought was the coolest thing ever. I don't have this. I just thought it was a cool idea. I'm a big fan of the Grinch. I'm a big fan of like Christmas pop culture decorations, like things that reference movie franchises. Not that I guess the Grinch is a franchise in a way. That kind of decoration I love. We do a lot of like what I'm going to call easy decorating, which is stuff on the counters, stuff on the windowsills, the kind of stuff that, I mean, we have a tree up. It's proper height, although it is very thin. It's on a Ozempic and it's doing very well. But it is, I'm glad that no one laughed at my joke there. That makes me feel so good. But
I was like, wait, what did he say?
We have this very thin tree. But it's doing well. December, I agree with you. Although you sound a bit like a like local reporter when you ask, like, oh my gosh, where did the year go? but it is true that we're already through December. We are, for those who are counting, we are well into the 100+ calls we've been doing, which is pretty wild. We are coming up on our 10-year anniversary next year, which is pretty crazy to think that's how long we've been doing these calls.
Wow, wait, really? Wait, is that a joke? 10 years?
Not yet. In August of 2024, we will be at 10 years. We are 9+ years at this point.
Wow, that is impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, I know I could name a few folks here. I think Chris was already mentioned. I know Lisa was at our first November call, which means that you have now passed 10 years. Wayne was in that first year as well, but obviously we're really excited for the folks who just started calling this year too and weren't there for what I will say were maybe less polished early calls. But Jess, I know you and I did very little prep for this call, so I really want this call to be as much as anything an opportunity for others to bring topics that they may talk about, but I will throw out things that we've talked about before in case folks have questions around them, because I'd love to kind of give you a list of things to choose for us to talk about. Obviously, it's the holidays. We've talked in years past about good gift ideas for people in a blind community. We've talked about wrapping. We've talked about etiquette around holiday parties. We've never really talked about decorating, which is interesting. I love or what I will call good holiday activities for people who are blind. I mean, I'm a big fan of going to light shows, even despite not being able to see them the exact same way as I could before. Fireworks and things like that are still fun. We're happy to talk about travel or flying or car or road trips, or how we address all of those things. Not that any of us are driving on road trips. But I'm happy to kind of let this conversation flow naturally. But before... Or if we don't hear from others, Jess, are there things on your mind this December?
Yeah, I'm going to throw out two ideas. I'm going to throw out one holiday-ish idea and one like life-ish idea to kind of talk about. And we can kind of whatever, however the crowd wants to go with it. But one of them I would definitely say, so I'm actually going home tomorrow to Arizona for kind of a pre-Christmas, celebration. And so... my sister's coming, my brother's obviously there, and so all the cousins, and so like we're now getting to the phase where we all like there's little ones running around. And so my I don't know if anybody like this is like super no knowledge, but I have a half sister, and she is pretty much she looks like my face, like we look identical in the face, but she's got blonde hair, so that means her child is blonde, and it's really hard for me to see little blondies because my sister will like to put my niece in like lighter clothes, like pinks and yellows and creams. I have no idea why. And I'm like, can you please dress your child in blue so I can find her? Because when things are light and bright outside, like it's the contrast, it's really hard for me to find her. And maybe this will be easier because she's 5 now. And so maybe she's not as much at like knee height for me anymore. So I know I won't like be worried about like kneeing her in the face. No jokes aside, like that does worry me. Because when there's like a little one running around and there's no contrast between like a blonde child and the super light, like brown floors, it's pretty hard. So yeah, so I had to fully prep my sister, like, hey, can you make sure you're bringing your child like jewel tones, like purples and blues and all of that, or blacks, like the high contrast, that would be awesome with the blonde. But then also there's obviously like a 5-year-old super busy. So what activities can we all think about that, like, so I can like participate, and just to kind of make sure I can be part of it. So we actually came up with some interesting ones. So I hope my sister has all blue and purple packed. TBD. I think that'll be what I'll fully report on in January. But so we came up with one thing each day, that I think will be a little bit easier and slightly more accessible for me to do. So Friday, when we get there, is cookie decorating. And I mean, we're just going to, I think I'm just, so I'm going to kind of rear like arrange the table in like the colors and have my mom just kind of walk me through like which colors are which frosting and what it is. So then I kind of know, can kind of know. Plus it's cookie decorating. So like, you know, it's way more fun if your cookie looks crazy. So that's going to be a really fun activity. We're also doing gingerbread houses, and obviously like gingerbread, I don't think is the easiest thing to see or put together, but we found Oreo gingerbread houses. So I'm going to get a big white plate or a paper towel, and I'll have the contrast with the Oreos. So I'll be able to participate and make an Oreo gingerbread house because of the obviously black and white. So we're doing that. And then the other thing we're doing is just kind of a very Christmassy light show thing. But we actually, so I chose us the earliest like time that you can go into the Christmas event, because then I knew it was going to be a little bit light out still. So I'd still be able to kind of see like where the street was and like where we'd be walking around. And I probably would be able to see a little bit more if it was a little light out versus if it was pitch black and it was just all Christmas lights. So I kind of chose an earlier time because of that. And then the last Christmas or activity I would say that's not super Christmassy is bowling. And I'm real bad at bowling, but I was really bad at bowling with vision. So like no shame there. And so, I mean, I'm kind of honestly at the point with bowling that I just like stand there, really try to pretend that I'm looking straight, really try to pretend to center myself and just chuck the ball down the alley and turn around and like wait for people to cheer. And if they don't, well then, you know, on to the next frame. So I felt like all of those, the other thing we got and actually got this idea from conference when we did raffle prizes is, what is it, left, right, center? And there's actually a large print blue left, right, center. So we'll be playing that one as well. So my mom told me to bring single dollars. So yeah, we were fun, jam-packed, but my mom and I really did want to sit and kind of be super thoughtful of activities to make sure I was totally included. So that's what's coming up for me next week. But I'll throw another idea in there. But I want to hear about any thoughts or feedback on that, Andy, before I
I
leave.
love so much of what you said. I have five comments and I'm going to try and remember all of them.
Oh, perfect.
Although I'm not often accused of being too brief. First and foremost, since we didn't say this early on, I do want to kind of let everyone know if you happen to be newer here, there are folks on this call that identifies every type of participant in this LHON community. If you're here and are not someone who is affected by LHON, like Jessica and I are, we're happy to kind of help with questions for you as well, especially at this time of year around the types of questions we're talking about around holidays. Those are a lot of the questions we'll get. So definitely want to take questions from any and all folks who are interested in this community. In terms of comments I have for you, I think first and foremost, it's time for you to buy your niece a brand new wardrobe that works better for you. And I think that'd be a great Christmas present for you. Although I guess you need to know sizes and all those kinds of things. Second, I've never had the issue with small children as much once they are like of a certain height, but I do have the same issue with my own dog. So I have to like change what he's wearing. And yes, he's like spoiled and wears clothes and stuff like that. But like based on, we have a rug that he could blend in entirely with. And there are other floors that he doesn't as well. So like this is a lesson I've learned in terms of A, choosing flooring, but also having our dog wear specific things that are easier for me to see that I'm more used to, because unlike that 5-year-old child, he will not grow tall enough where he is above my knees ever. Other things to comment on. I was really surprised to hear you say the thing about wanting to do the light show early enough, because to me, I've actually learned that I can see things like lights better in the dark. And I often talk about how I can see crosswalk signs better in the dark because the light is more contrasted on the darkness of the sky. And I can see, while I can't recognize the difference in a hand and a walking sign, I can tell the difference, or at the very least tell when that sign across the street changes from red to white or vice versa, even if I can't necessarily tell what it was previously. Sometimes I can do that, and it's much easier to do in the pitch black dark. So I was surprised to hear you say what you said about the lights being easier to see when it was light out. And the last thing you mentioned.
Hi, Gingerbread House.
What'd you say?
Gingerbread House?
No, I don't know.
Bowling.
Christmas. Oh, bowling. Oh, I think bowling's a great idea. I think everyone who is blind should like easily memorize where pins 1 through 10 are, and then have some family member tell you basically which pins are still up after your first bowl. And it makes the sport kind of fun in that way, because you don't need to be able to see the end of the lane. And in some ways, focusing all the way down there is detrimental to being able to bowl well. Just bowl straight and know roughly where you want it to end in the lane. But to Jessica's point, if you're really bad, you were probably bad before, and that's okay too.
Yep, was real bad before. So it's kind of some fun adventures kind of coming up with the kids. Other one I'll bring up for, and that's not really holiday-ish related, is that I've been dating, and so I've gone on a lot of I would say first dates in the last let's call it month, and it's been really interesting. And so I think this is a topic we don't often talk about, so I'm just gonna throw it out there, and we can pick it always back up another time. But yeah, dating is really interesting. Anytime from like picking a location and like do you bring your cane, do you not bring your cane, do you go earlier or do you go later, like what, and do you always go to like the same spot for everyone every date, or do you go to a different spot? And so I think I'm kind of battled with all of those. And so it's been really interesting. I think with whether it's a job interview or a first date or feeling comfortable, it's taken me a long time. Gosh, I've been affected for what, 11 years now. And I would say I'm finally at a point with like dating that I'm cool talking about LHON, that like, you know, love me or leave me, like this is me. Whereas it took me a little bit sooner for work. I don't know why that was such a difference. But yeah, I think it's all kind of it's on everyone's own time. And so it's, maybe I was just a little slow to the party, but yeah.
I'm going to lean into that topic a little bit. I knew you were doing a little dating through our conversations, but you opened up the can of worms here, so I am going to talk about it a little bit. I think this is the topic that we over the years have been asked to talk about in private, but very infrequently do people want to raise their hands on these calls and ask for us to talk about this. There are a few other more, I don't even want to call them like mature topics, but topics that are a little more like private for folks sometimes that don't often get asked about sometimes, but I know people are interested about. But I also like one thing you did there, Jessica, which is recognize the fact that despite the fact that you and I have been hosting these calls for a decade, there are still situations. All right, Chef, my dog's about to bark. But there are still situations where you and I are a little maybe less upfront about our vision, or places where we aren't the 100% loud and proud blind person that we are sometimes. So I think it's good to recognize that regardless of the position you're in for others. But also, I'm happy to talk about the dating thing. As many people know here, I am married, so I'm dating zero with new people these days, at least, although you all should be continuing to take your spouses out on dates. I think it's an interesting topic to talk about how you share all of that, because even if you are just meeting new friends for the first time ever, there's an interesting dynamic of deciding how do you say this, and like how do you say it in a way where it's casual and not like, oh, I'm sharing this diagnosis with you. Like I want to do it where it's like, oh, I'm just sharing this part about me that of course you'd like to know, but also is necessary, and also is kind of a safety thing, and is also kind of a unique thing about me, and all those kinds of things that make it make it something you'd want to share, but at the same time, you don't want it to be then the topic of conversation for the next 20 minutes. Although I do try, and when I share that aspect of myself, I try and allow it to be a topic of conversation for a little while. I know some people try and be like, "Oh, I'm blind. By the way, did you see that movie recently?" And I try and lean into it a little bit to allow folks, if they have a follow-up question, let's address it. Let's address the follow-up question for a minute or two, and then obviously pivot back to the conversation.
Yeah, no, that's such a good point. So when I first moved to this apartment, gosh, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I was with my mom and we were like trying to move in. There's one elevator, like it was a mess. And so I was meeting all these people in the elevator. And for some reason which I'm so glad I did. There's multiple people that I run into consistently. And I'm just like, "Hey, I just moved here. It's so nice to meet you. I just want to give you a heads up. I'm actually visually impaired. So I'm not trying to be rude, but I will never recognize you again. So if you said like, 'Hey, Jessica, it's so-and-so and your name,' that'd be great. And that totally helps me out." And I, for some reason, which super thankful I did, probably my first 2 days I was here. And my mom looked at me like, "Oh, check you out. Like, that's such a good first step for me to like, just like, let's just throw it out there." And it's amazing because literally the people I met the very first 2 days of this apartment complex will walk up to me and be like, "Hey, Jessica, it's Stephanie. Hey." And I'm like, "Oh, hey." I'll be passing them on the street and they'll be like, "Hey, Jessica, it's Stephanie." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." Like, and it's been such a total like blessing to have, because then moving to like social situations where we do potlucks all the time at this complex, which is great. And so we'll be standing in line at this potluck and I'm like, "Oh God, it's a buffet. Like, how the heck am I going to find anything?" Well, then everybody that I introduced myself to the first 2 days were like, "Oh, hey, Jessica, do you need any help?" And I'm like, "Yes, that would be amazing." They're like, "No problem." And it's like not a thing. And I'm like, wow, like kind of the groundwork that I laid to my first 2 days, I wish I did it for like my first month so everybody would know. And I mean, some people I would say no at this point and some people don't. But now like going to social things, like the guy that runs all the social events was just like, "Hey, Jessica, it's John. Would you like a glass of wine?" And I'm like, "Yes, please." Like, now, like those things, those social interactions are so much easier once I did that than I think before. Cause I, you know, I'm trying to meet new people, trying to get out there and all of that. And I think the same kind of those similar things translate definitely to dating, because I'll come out front before we even meet for our first date and tell them that I'm visually impaired. And so, it's never, I feel like shocking if I like show up with a cane, or yesterday I was looking at the menu upside down, you know, like, cause they would like hand the menu to me and they're like, "Oh, it's over here." And they, you know, when the waiter tries to like point and he's like, "Oh, it's upside down." I'm like, but it wasn't embarrassing to me, cause I'm like, "Oh, he already knows," like, whatever. But so yeah, it's been, I think kind of having those open conversations have really, really kind of changed my social perspective in the last 3 months.
I love so much of what you said. I mean, I first and foremost want to move into your complex. It sounds amazing. But beyond that, the thing that you shared about "Hey, Jessica, it's so-and-so." I think that's good advice for anyone on this call. And I just want to like underline it 17 times to the point where it's something that all of those people appreciate being told. Honestly, I think most people who are sighted would love to know the way to start conversations with people generally. And for you to just tell someone every time you start a conversation with me, "These are the words you use," I think people are really grateful for that. It also is something that if you don't say early on in knowing someone, I can speak from experience here, it becomes a harder thing to tell someone after you've known them a year, "Oh, by the way, we see each other all the time. But it really would be helpful if every time you saw me, you started by saying this." So the earlier you can say that in knowing someone,
totally,
the better. Because there are some people who are going to pick up on that, and that's cool. But being direct and asking for that is really helpful. It also is an easy way to kind of share your disability or how vision loss or however you want to refer to it. I don't mind any of those words. But I mean, it's the same reason why I wear a tactile watch sometimes, just because it's an easy entrance or on ramp, if you will, into a conversation about, "Hey, oh, I don't see really well. By the way, if you ever see me, say, 'Hey, Andy, it's so and so.' And there's your exit ramp. But now you're back to the conversation you were having previously." So I always tell myself, if I'm debating whether to say that to someone Do it now because it's harder later.
Hey guys, Megan.
Hey, Megan.
Hey. So Megan. I just want to say this is all awesome words, and I just want to kind of reiterate that, like, it's easy to say to people who are affected, like maybe 5 years, 10 years in, but like people who are affected early on, like, this is super hard stuff to say to people, but super powerful, right? So does that make sense?
It totally does.
Totally.
And this is where, like, I mean, I appreciate how Jessica even recognized the weirdness sometimes despite being affected for 11 years. Like, if this is something you're not comfortable with, by all means, like, different people are comfortable with different things. And yet I would say if you've been affected 2 weeks and you are comfortable doing this, give it a shot. If it doesn't work for you, that's fine. If you have been affected 35 years and you're not comfortable doing this, don't do it. A lot, as I said early on, we're not experts on any of these types of things, but I love the way you characterize that, Megan. Everyone's on their own journey here, and we're just kind of here to applaud where everyone is.
Yeah, Megan, totally agree. I think, I don't know if you were here when I had shared that I'm 11 years into being affected with LH1 and just started finally getting on my own 2 feet to start dating. So I think I may sound super confident in the apartment complex and in the workspace, but like dating, I'm like, oh, I don't know. So I think everyone has their place and everyone has like their struggles. And so I think that's just kind of being open and honest that, yeah. So I think it's real.
It's all funny, right? I just did my first big event with family members that I haven't seen since I was affected. So that was pretty scary. And it's only been 5 years. And I say only because, 5 years goes by pretty quickly, but you guys know how it goes. And I've gotten so many different reactions. So, but yeah, like when you can honestly project what you want, people to know, it's really, really helpful to yourself and to all around you, I think.
Definitely. Totally agree with you there, Megan. Any other thoughts? I know we talked some about holiday activities. We talked some about dating. We talked some about just activities in general, or I don't know what else we touched on. Lots of things here. Any thoughts from anyone out there?
Hi, this is Hope from California.
Hey, Hope.
Hi, Jessica. So I am not affected by LHON, but I have a sister and son who are. And something that jumped out at me is when you had said right, left, center, Jessica, the game. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it. My sister just told me about it like days ago. And it really involves, I believe, rolling dice, and then people just tell you what the dice are and you just do what it is to do. And I was like, oh, that's a super great game. And she goes, yeah, it's a great game for her to play. But she also has like, I think 8.5 by 11 size Uno cards. And so she brings those so that she can play Uno and with people and just brings her own deck per se. I've never seen them. But the other thing I wanted to, in the long line of games, is we've started learning that a lot of older people games are done in, everything's always bigger or larger or bigger print or bigger font or in colors instead of whatever, just to make it simpler. Like our mom was in memory care, and a lot of the games that they played, or I'm trying to think of a really good example. It's like the Uno cards, or you could play bingo because you could create, something that's larger. But we were finding that a lot of the ones that are older people who have sight issues or, cognitive issues are not to compare the two. That's coming out completely wrong. But we just learned that. And my sister's like, I'll come with all of you guys and play Uno and bring my Uno cards. So I just want to throw that out because I think that the game thing and finding ways to interact so you're just not watching everybody else, do things is great. And I'm trying to think of the same thing, right? When my son comes home from Colorado, right near Jessica, what are some of the things that we can do and play with that involves everybody?
Yeah, and I love that so much, Hope. I myself am a big like social or party game fan, and I find a lot of those games too are much less visual in nature than say board games or even some card games that are very focused on visuals. Games like Just One is one that I'd call out, as well as Herd Mentality or Green Team Wins, even Wits and Wagers. All of these are games where a lot of the gameplay is said aloud. And I'll explain how the game Just One works, and then obviously feel free, or I'm happy to talk about any of the others. But Just One is a game where basically any person, it's cooperative, which is obviously good anyway. So you're all winning and losing together, but there's one person who is, it's their turn each time, and they basically show everyone else a card and then say a number on that card, which is distinguished by one of, or designates one of the words on the card. Everyone sees that word, and I will tell you how I adapt this game for myself in a second, but then everyone else uses their easels to write down a single word that will help that person, individual, guess the word they're trying to guess. They can't write that word, obviously. But they're trying to get you to guess that word. And before they're shown to the person whose turn it is, they show them to each other. And if there are any duplicates, those are removed. So two people write the word yellow for banana. The word yellow is struck from the list. So the person would only have words like fruit and monkey or something, and they have to guess the word banana from those. Well, because it's cooperative in nature, if it's my turn, obviously I don't have to see that word, so it doesn't matter. And everyone would read me their words once it's my turn, and then I get to guess the word. If it's not my turn, we have a text chain in our phones. Everyone who's playing is on this text chain, and whoever's turn it is wouldn't look at their phone, but someone else just texts whatever the word is. I can reference my phone pretty easily, either through an AirPod listening to it or using magnification, and I can write on my easel as well. Even if I can't read it, I can write my word. Others can tell me if it matches someone else's. They can read the words aloud, just like if it was my turn. And there are lots of games like that that are easily adaptable because so much of the gameplay is said aloud. So I love the idea of games that may be played by older individuals or games that are pretty social in nature, where I hate to say it, but they end up being maybe a little less competitive, but a lot about playing a game with folks. And sorry to talk through so much of that, but I love.
No, can you mention adapting the other four that you mentioned? Just One was one. Just name the other ones.
Yeah, Green Team Wins.
Okay.
Herd Mentality and Wits and Wagers. They're all games, and I'm happy to tell you how I adapt each of them, but they're all very verbal in nature, the same way Just One is.
Okay, perfect. I can Google it.
Another one is Telling Me Without Telling Me, or Showing Me Without Showing Me. I don't remember what the exact naming of it is, but you can find it on Amazon.
Okay.
It's more of like a charades, but.
Awesome. Thank you.
Of course.
Yeah, that's so great. What else are people doing for the holidays? How else are people adjusting their holiday celebrations or decorations?
If we want to talk through, I'm happy to talk through a couple activities as the married host here. We have a Lego advent calendar, which has meant us doing a lot of Legos every day, which is something my wife and I started doing together last year. And it's a very different activity. Many of you have heard me talk about how skiing is a team activity as a blind person with someone in my ear guiding me down a mountain. Building Legos is very similar. We actually take it as a challenge to build larger things with my wife not touching any of the Legos and only looking at the directions, then guiding me without touching anything. And if your relationship is on the rocks, maybe I don't recommend it, but if you have a strong relationship, it can be a really, really fun activity and yet be somewhat challenging to, and even if you are sighted, sometimes it can be fun for folks to, okay, only one of you can look at the instructions and the other one has to do all of the building. It's just a fun way to build something like that with someone else.
What are the things you build, Andy?
I've done some, I mean, not to flex or wave my nerd flag too much, but the last two things I built were like Star Wars ships.
Oh gosh, okay. That's part of the advent calendar thing?
Oh, so the advent calendar are very small things. So this is, again, like this is a like Harry Potter themed advent calendar where there are a lot of mini figures, so very small people that you're putting together, or like a little cart for something or a sign. Typically only like, I mean, it may take 2 minutes to build something each time.
All right, that makes more sense. I got it.
Of course, sorry.
I'll chime in from Minnesota. This is Jenny.
Hey, Jenny. Jenny.
I was going to say our family is pretty large. There's usually about 30 of us for Christmas, and we do the dice game. And it's just we shake the dice, and if you get doubles, you get to pick. And it's usually gifts from $5 to $10, and it can be gift cards or socks or candles. And we use large dice for me, and it's pretty fun.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah.
What if you don't shake doubles? You just onto the next person?
Onto the next person. And we have like 3 pie tins of dice going around because it's so many people. But we usually do about 5 to 10 gifts per person.
Ooh,
so everybody ends up with something. And now that there's so many kids, we try and make it more kids friendly, but that's a fun idea.
Ooh, that sounds fun. I like that idea. We actually exchange names, but maybe we should like who gets to pick is based on like who for dice, like who's next.
Oh yeah. And it can be as silly as like a can of Pringles with a lottery ticket on it, or like a gift card to Jimmy John's or McDonald's, or it can be pretty easy.
Oh, that's fun.
But it's fun.
I'm getting, it's sad how much you just saying Jimmy John's or McDonald's, how hungry that made me.
Or Starbucks, Caribou.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that idea. And where do you get large dice? Is that just Amazon? No big deal.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Where do you get large dice?
Amazon.
Oh, perfect. Okay. One of my favorite Christmas shares from the past years is, Chris, you kind of sharing about your the wrapping style, how you got those boxes, and so how each person had a box. Is she here? I thought I heard her.
She may have been here. I'm not hearing her now, though.
Oh, no. Okay. So, well, I'll share a story. So Chris, she's from Pennsylvania. And so she would get these like very beautiful decorative boxes. And instead of wrapping all the presents, each person. Yes. Oh, there she is.
Oh, yes. I didn't realize you were talking about me. Yeah. I still do that. I have all the boxes.
Can you share?
I want them back. Yeah. I bought boxes years and years ago. And when I had my site, and so I put the shirt or whatever it is in the box, and I avoid having to wrap everything, and they open it, and I just want the box back. I have these beautiful boxes, and that's made wrapping my life so much easier. Scotch tape is the bane of my existence. It's like, I don't know about anybody else, but wow, I hate Scotch tape. It's so hard to use. And I can pull it off the dispenser, but I never hit the right spot where to. I think I've taped it on the wrapping paper, and then oh no, I missed the spot. So I just avoid wrapping paper at all costs. My daughter was nice enough to. I have loads of ribbons, and she was nice enough to categorize it all, the pink and the green and the red, and put it all thing. And I still look at all these ribbons I have, and I'm still not sure what the color is. And I always have to ask somebody, is this, what color is this? What color is that? And it's just, it's hard. So you have to just try and make things simple. And I throw the same color ribbon in this box so I can tie the same ribbon over the box. And I just invested in these boxes and wow, it's just, that's the way to do it. Or use, get nice bags and throw the sweater or the socks or whatever in the bag. And because wrapping paper and scotch tape just don't work anymore. It's just too hard. I've tried to figure out ways to use it and it just is, I've given up. I lined up scotch tape along the table, all these pieces of scotch tape, but I just don't hit the right spot. I don't know if it's hard for anybody else, but it's just too frustrating. And
that's great, Chris.
Yeah, I love the box idea.
Yeah, the you know, I guess December, you just don't need any more stress in December. And scotch tape, but just saying the word scotch tape just sends me over the edge.
Anybody else have any like tips and tricks like that? Because this is that's a great one and that Chris does.
And even like your Christmas ornaments, just like getting a big ornament box and just organizing that is easier. I still find it kind of hard to decorate the tree. I'm never quite sure. My side daughter comes to visit and she kind of redistributes some of the ornaments because I don't think I get them like evenly. You know, you can't tell what you're doing all the time, so you do the best you can.
Just don't have a tree.
Just don't have a tree.
That's an option too. I know we are approaching the top of the hour and I want to make sure we've turned the recording off in case folks have questions they want not part of the recording by the top of the hour, but still want to hear any questions or comments people want to get in before then as well.
Andy, this is Lisa. I have one thing. Oh, go ahead. You go, Lisa.
No, it's okay.
No, you go. I'll go for you.
I was going to say, because scotch tape is, like Chris said, a pain, gift bags. And I don't even do the little tags. I just write with a black marker on it to whoever from whoever. I tried doing the tags years and years ago, and I gave up on the tags because usually it doesn't come across, and it's always like, oh, we know who this is from. So gift bags work.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Lisa.
Love it.
So this is Lisa. This is a tip or trick, but it's not about holidays. It's just a general tip or trick. And it's a total shout out to Hope because I heard you, Hope. I came on late. Sorry, it's Lisa. But on our mom's call most recently, Hope was telling the group about how in two different situations she had gotten accessible crosswalk signals installed near where her electron affected son lived. And like within a few days of that, I happened to see Jeremy walking with his 3-year-old son coming back from preschool. And so now every day he walks his son to preschool and back, to preschool and back, and he crosses two difficult streets each way. And one of them is a pretty new intersection and they've got the accessible crosswalks. The other one doesn't have the audible signals. And so I happened to see him just taking a chance, going across the road as best he could at a point when it was not the right time for him to cross. And it terrified me. So I asked his permission to ask the city to install an audible signal. And he said, yep, you have my permission. Thanks for asking. I've learned something in 15 years. Ask first before trying to be helpful. But he said, yeah, no, that's a good idea. I would appreciate it if you did it. And it's really okay. So I found the traffic whatever person email in our town, and I explained, you know, my son is vision impaired, he's legally blind, he has a 3-year-old, he makes this crossing, you know, 4 times a day now, and can you put in an audible signal? And they just wrote me back yesterday and said, yeah, we got it reached out. We got a quote. And as soon as it comes in, we're going to install it. And I was like, oh, that was really easy. And then I thought, well, you know, I did just put in writing that they have a blind guy and a three-year-old who are making this crossing four times a day. If anything bad happened and they didn't do it, maybe they really had a lot of reasons, charitable and legal, to do it. But anyways, for what it's worth, I heard you on the call, Hope. So thank you for mentioning it, because that really put the thought in my head, and it was super easy. And I don't know if anyone else has gone through it, but I was excited about it. So it's a tip or trick about safety.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yes, good for you.
Awesome.
I haven't done that since I've been up in New Jersey or New York, because it's more standard here, I would say. But I did do it in Florida, and it took a little bit of time. But you're right. Like, the answer was yes when I made the request, Lissa. So encourage anyone else to look into that if there's a street that you're crossing frequently and you'd like it to be changed, even if it can't happen overnight. And thank you for being here, Lissa.
Yeah, thank you. Hope, how long did it take
pleasure.
For
I got here late.
Hope, how long did it take you to get it done in Colorado? Oh, I think she's gone. Oh, she is. Bummer. Okay.
That's okay. We will. I know a few folks have had to drop, but still happy to give folks credit, whether they're here or not.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Jetta. I just wanted to chime in on what Lissa was saying. We had lived in our house about a year, and our crosswalk, we live on a very busy street. And so it didn't ever really dawn on me, but I started, there's actually a bakery across from where we live and a nail salon. And so I just started to think about how can I be more, just making my life more accessible about where we live. And I was like, oh my gosh, why don't I just call the city and see if they can install a crosswalk? You know, things that are just obvious, but until you really start thinking about your life and your house, you just don't think those things can change sometimes. So called the city, found the number. They're like, oh yeah, that's not a problem. And within a month, they were out, literally on the way home from work. My husband was like, oh my gosh, look, they're installing the new crosswalk. And now wow. I'm able to do it by myself. So it's something so small, but you know, it was really something I just didn't even think about for a while. So
that's a good idea. I love it. Bakery and nail salon. Yeah, I would cross the street for those two things too. Those are amazing.
Jetta, can you remind me where you live?
Sure. Louisville, Kentucky.
Got it. Okay. Very cool.
It's kind of funny that O&M training doesn't say, hey, reach out to your town. You need this. And I don't know if that's just me, but.
I actually saw something it's in a similar vein, and I don't know what folks here would think of this, but I'm going to share it anyway. I was in Acton, Massachusetts recently, which is kind of in the Boston area for anyone who's familiar. And I was walking down the street, and there was actually a sign outside of someone's house. And this is kind of strange. I don't know that it was actually outside of the specific house that it was referring to, but it was identifying that a blind person lived nearby and that they crossed this specific intersection frequently. And they had signs on both sides. So for traffic coming from either side of this intersection would have been notified basically that you're approaching an intersection that a blind person lives nearby who crosses that intersection frequently. Just be aware of that fact. I found it interesting. I mean, personally, as someone who tries to be a little more proud about my disability sometimes and not militant about it by any means, I thought it was kind of neat. I looked it up to see the process for things like that, because it isn't something that you see many places at all, but certainly found it interesting.
Oh, it was like a permanent yellow traffic sign.
It was a permanent, it was as permanent as a stop sign, Jessica. Like it was... Oh. And it was as large as a stop sign, pointed both directions about a quarter of a mile ahead of the intersection. identifying that intersection as one that is crossed by a blind person frequently.
Wow. Pennsylvania does that, Andy. There, it's like a big yellow diamond sign, and it'll say a blind child in area or blind person crosses this area. You see that frequently. In Pennsylvania does that. I think if I would call the township or the state and tell them, I think the townships do them around here, but that is a frequent thing around here. Or if a hearing impaired too, a hearing impaired child lives around here, or whatever, because they would not hear a car coming or whatever. That's not unusual. Pennsylvania is lousy with a lot of stuff, but they do that.
I've heard both sides on that. I've heard people ask to have that kind of a blind person nearby kind of a sign put in. And right. I've had people report that they won't put it in, and they cite some publication that says that it kind of blends in with the woodwork and it doesn't do any good kind of a thing. So some people have had it rejected on those grounds, but then again, you see them in some places. I've never heard one specifically that they use this crossing. I've just seen like blind person nearby, but the crosses here is kind of interesting. I'm going to look for that one.
If I find the picture, I'll send it to you. I took a picture when I saw it.
Well, I think some areas where a child might live, or anyone, it could depend on the traffic flow too. If they live in a place that's, you know, the traffic flow is a lot heavier than just a neighborhood where there's not much traffic, and maybe that would be reason to have a sign like that.
Well, as we approach the top of the hour, are there any thoughts that people want to make sure make it as part of the recording? As you think about that, Jessica, I'll ask you to kind of get the calendar out, and I will remind everyone that our next LHON live call will be in 2024, which is kind of wild to think about. It will be the first Wednesday of every month, like it always is, which next month will be January 3rd. So always 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific here in the U.S., same Zoom link, same everything. You can always find these details in the emails you get from LHON.org, along with information for all other calls, like the information Jessica is going to share right now.
Or in a little bit. So we actually, we almost have everything ready for 2024. I will share that there are some amazing leaders throughout this entire community that have been hosting calls all throughout the year. So I would say we are busy at work, kind of getting everything planned for 2024, whether it's your regional call. And if you're not part of any of these, please reach out to LH1.org so we can add you. But there's regional calls, there's employment and education and spouses and mom's calls and dad's calls, assistive technology, and some new calls, drum roll, that are coming for 2024. So lots of cool stuff. So kind of keep an eye out. I don't have dates for those quite yet, but all of that is coming. We will have a lot to be able to share. So not only will you get an email, as always, every single month that we'll be able to share, but we do also post a calendar. So if you want to kind of look ahead to see what's coming for the next month or two, we will also be posting that. And that's actually going to be on LHON.org as well. So I don't know, plan your vacations accordingly so you don't miss a call or something fun like that. But lots of great things planning or on ahead for 2024. As always, if you ever have ideas or want to throw anything at us, we're all open ears. Like, our biggest mission is to make sure our community is well supported and has a place to call their own and to call home as well. So looking forward to 2024. Keep an eye out for the emails. Obviously, it'll also be on Facebook. But if you get neither one of these, please reach out to us so we can make sure that you get that communication. So.
I would highlight here that Jessica deserves, and Jessica and Lissa deserve so much credit for these calls, but they also are due to the work of lots of individual hosts. So if there's not a call that you want to happen, the only thing between you and that call happening is raising your hand and asking to do it. So that's always on the table.
Absolutely. With that, I am going to end the recording, but most of all, the Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year to everybody. I can't believe we're saying all that. 2023 has flown by and we can't wait to spend 2024 with you. And gosh,
Jessica,
it's like a countdown. Yes.
Do you happen to have the calls for the rest of December, or are there no calls in December?
Oh, you want that? That's awesome. I have January in my brain already. Sorry, Andy. I was like, but yeah.
If you have December calls, I'd love to get those shared with folks, but you tell me if you have it or not.
Yeah, no, I have that. That's awesome. Yeah. I don't know why. I have December over in my brain. I'm really sorry, y'all. You can tell we've been planning a lot, and so December is just over in my head. But with that said, yeah. December is not over, and here are the calls. So,
I have it if you'd rather me do it, but you go.
Yeah, I'm going to say just a quick shout out to go back in time is that yesterday there was an LH1 affected teens call. So if that is something that you fit into, there's affected teens and young adults. So just sharing that did happen, but please catch them next time. Next call coming up is LH1 Assistive Technology, and that is on Thursday, December 7th. That's tomorrow. So please join us for that call. Lots jam-packed this week. Next call is LH1 Texas and nearby states. And that's on Monday, December 11th at 6 p.m. Central. Note there's a little bit of a time difference there for 6 p.m. Central. So just kind of a change up than our normal. Next call is LH1 New England. And that call is on Tuesday, December 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Call after that is LH1 Affected Young Adults. There's that call. And that's on Wednesday, December 13th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm really sorry for my dog. Next call is LHON Southeast. And that is on Thursday, December 14th at 8 p.m. Eastern. The next call after that is LHON Midwest. And that call is on Monday, December 18th at 7 p.m. Central. Also know there's a little bit of a time difference there. Next call after that. Oh, we are jam-packed in December. How did we miss that? LHON Southwest. And that is on Tuesday, December 19th at 7 p.m. Pacific. Next call is Dads of LHON Affected Kids. And that is on Wednesday, December 20th at 5 p.m. Pacific. And last but definitely not least is the LH1 New York, New Jersey call. Oh, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Can't forget Pennsylvania. And that is on Thursday, December 21st at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also a change up in time. And that is a wrap for December.
Yeah, so all those calls. And then we will start January 3rd with our next LHON live call. I'm going to say one thing here that I never plug here, but I was reminded earlier today in a board meeting that I should mention this organization more frequently than never on these calls. And that's an organization that I've been supporting for coming up on a year now called NSight. And they spell it strangely, like every company these days, in the letter N, S-I-T-E. So if you ever want to find information about them, it's nsight.org, N-S-I-T-E.org. And this is an organization, I mention it because there's no employment call this month, but they are specifically focused on helping employers make their workforces more diverse by helping blind people find work at companies all across, I believe, just the U.S. at this point in time. So I apologize to calls anyone here who it's not helpful for, but if anyone is looking for work or even looking to kind of get some new certifications for themselves in their current line of work, there are a lot of training programs available there that are for free for a lot of folks who qualify. And just wanted to give them a quick plug here. If you have any other questions, I can get you in touch with the right people, but they're doing very good work over there. And because I thought about the employment call and thought about them, I wanted to give them a quick plug. With that, Jess, if we want to end the recording, I think I'm okay with that.
Wonderful. 1 second, please.